Good day. I'm Dr. Richard Baza, Executive Director of the New Jersey Association of School Administrators, and I'm glad to welcome you to our podcast today. We are broadcasting today and recording from Atlantic City at the Harris Conference Center, where we are celebrating the 25th year of TechSpo, our technology conference. So it's a really great event. We have almost 1,500 people here in total, so the vibration is great. A conference that I've enjoyed, I have to say, each of those 25 years. So glad to be here. And our guest today is our keynote speaker this morning, Matt Miller, who's just finished his great talk with our audience. A lot of active participation and some vividness in terms of his presentation, which we'll talk about. So welcome, Matt. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And you've traveled from Indiana to be here with us, as I recall.
I have indeed, yes.
So, we're talking just before starting our recording that you were a Spanish teacher. And I surprised to tell you that I was a Spanish teacher, so we have some things in common there. And now, as we talked a little bit about doing keynote presentations, as you've done with us, and also working with school staff to help them evolve in terms of not just their use of technology, but helping kids to learn differently than we did. So talk a little bit about your aha moment. You talked about how you were going through your daily routine as a beginning teacher, and the kids were not quite engaged in the way that you would hope. So tell us a little bit, as you told our audience today, what happened?
Yeah, so when I very first started teaching high school Spanish, I basically taught the way that I had been taught. So, in that case, heavy dose of textbooks and workbooks and worksheets and lots of verb conjugation drills and, all of those things, very traditional approach. And I did that for about 3 or 4 years. And I started to realize that my textbooks weren't helping my students to become speakers of Spanish. They were learning about the language, but they weren't actually using it. And then there was one day in particular where I leaned a little too heavy on the lecture. I said this morning I was giving a riveting lecture on reflexive verbs that wasn't riveting. And when we finished up, I gave them homework. The students were none too interested in working on the homework. And so I punished them for not working on their homework by giving them more homework. And the students sprinted for the door. And that was a moment where something changed in me. And I started to realize that, something had to give and that this wasn't working anymore.
And so what did you change?
Yeah. So there was one day in particular about a year later where I looked up at my students and I was doing the same stuff. I hadn't changed a bit in that year. And I looked up at my students and I thought, if this lesson doesn't get any better, these guys are going to run for the door too. And so I just stopped and I said, everybody grab your textbooks. And so they went and they put their textbooks away. And basically from there, I started teaching myself what it looks like to not march chapter by chapter by chapter through a textbook. If I was going to teach in a different way than that, what would that look like? And that's basically the problem that I tried to solve for the next several years.
And so your website, ditchthattextbook.com,
right?
Have you got it right? So
yes,
there,
sir.
That's the now. One of the things that you mentioned in your conversation, I thought, was really a lesson in leadership. Mr. Strickland, your principal?
Yes.
He stopped as you were engaged in different articles of clothing to be a little bit more vivid to get the kids' interest.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that. What did he do that really impressed you as far as leadership?
Yeah. So on that day, I was, taking a chance and trying something different. And this clothing vocabulary lesson, I basically had brought a bunch of clothing from home that was on our vocabulary list and just started putting it on. And so right as I got a skirt on with all sorts of other things on, just as I was putting that skirt into place, I see Mr. Strickland walk by the door of my classroom. And he stops mid-step and turns around and stands in my doorway. And I had that moment of hesitation of thinking, he thinks I'm crazy. He's going to fire me on the spot, And he stopped and he came in and he said, I think this is great. And these kids are going to remember this. And that stuck with me. And there was a couple of reasons why that was such a breakthrough for me. One was that he was present and visible in the classrooms and in the hallways. We always knew that he was out there and we knew that he knew what was going on. The second one was that he knew that our teaching core had all different unique styles and unique personalities, and he honored that. But then the third one, which I think was most important, was that he trusted us. And he used his words and his actions to show that he trusted. And in that one moment that I had with him, I feel like he honored all three of those things with me.
You know, and you carry that over. We'll talk in a minute about some of the things you talked about in terms of art and science, and then a third ingredient. But you carry that over in terms of, I'll go back to when you work with your dad, and you talked about the superpower that we have is to dream.
Yes.
And that when you would work with dad on woodworking projects, that you would collaborate together, and that it was that much better because the two of you, you talked about that. And then you were able to dream. And so you kind of translated that over to being teaching with kids and dreaming. And you talked about art, you talked about science, and then you had an interesting part about risk-taking. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'd love to. See, I think so often, I made the analogy to the, you know, the 80s movie Top Gun, because that's one of my guilty pleasures and I like to bring that up. But I talk about how Maverick, the lead role, was a bit of a risk taker, but he only took risks in his flying that had great potential rewards. And I talked about that word risk and the way that we use it in schools. And a lot of times we shy away from things because they feel risky. And I think that we need to reframe that word risk, because a lot of times what feels risky to us is trying new things that are unproven and we're not totally sure how they're gonna go. But those risks that have really great potential benefits, those are the kinds that I think we have to kind of get over ourselves and try sometimes. So in that way, when we do that, we have our students' full attention, you know, as far as teaching goes. And we grab the student body's attention if we're a school leader. I mean, there's, you know, up and down education, this works. And maybe that risky, what feels so risky, maybe is one of the safest things that we can do instead. It's kind of a paradox, you know, like you think that something that feels risky is risky, but when you take that chance, a lot of times it has great results.
You know, and I was very impressed when you talked about just changing that one person and the impact that that might have on all of the people that they come in contact with. Right. And by the way, you know, as a risk taker, you know, you did change various costumes.
I did.
And so when you talked about Top Gun, you had the bomber jacket on. I liked the sunglasses.
Thank you.
But I was really looking for the motorcycle. I didn't see the motorcycle.
Oh, I need to work on that. Yeah.
That might be an opportunity. That would be very vivid, right?
Yeah, so, that's right.
Talk about a little bit the work that you like to accomplish even more than speaking, although as much as you enjoy that, but working with school staff members.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I do a lot of workshops with schools and school districts, and I feel like whenever we get there, a lot of the teachers have this question of, you know, I have this, we have all of these Chromebooks or all of these devices, and I don't know what to do with them. And so often it's easy for them to find kind of superficial ways to use technology that's just a substitution for what they've always done. And, you know, with these powerful devices that we have this great opportunity to do bigger and better and deeper learning. And so that's the kind of thing that I love to do, is to help teachers to look beyond how can I do this activity I've done in class, but do it with technology. And instead, let's look at, it's getting back to dreaming kind of, you know, what's the learning of our dreams? What's the activity of our dreams? And can technology help us get there? And we use, you know, sound pedagogy, we use brain science, incorporating those things that actually work into those activities that use technology. And when you marry all of those pieces together, some really amazing things happen.
And, you know, as we look forward, one of the things that I think is really got common agreement is that we don't want to give kids an education of our past with the education for their future. And the future really is going to require them to be problem solvers, to analyze and to put in place things that are concrete at that point in solving things, but having that ability to do that, because so much is changing and will continue to change. And I say to people, think about kindergartners today. What will the world be like when they're graduating 13 years out? And so it's going to be a very, very, very different world. So I loved your message. I love the dreaming part. I love the risk-taking part. And I know teachers are afraid to do that because it's, number one, very difficult for us to break what we're comfortable with, as you talked about, as I did as well. We're going to conjugate verbs. We're going to do things that are in a textbook. But it's not about us. It's not about the textbook. It's about kids and giving them the ability and the power to control learning and then they're learners for a lifetime.
Right, so, yes.
Matt, your message has been great. I'm so pleased that you were here with us at our 25th anniversary, and this is a good place to start. As we look forward, in fact, we're redefining our vision for public education. Right now it's Vision 2020. Well, 2020's come, so we've got to move forward. And I think your message is going to help us to really look forward and look at what does the learner of the future need to know and have in order for us to talk about what should schooling look like as well. So thanks for that message. Thanks for being with us. Matt Miller, who's our keynote speaker today, who's with us today, very inspiring and well-received by our audience. We thank him for being with us, and I look forward to joining you again in a future podcast. You can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, and always connect with us at njasa.net. Thanks for being with us today.